some serious examination. To do some of that work, here's Mike Lofgren, who wrote a piece in the Common Dreams website on the topic the other day. Lofgren spent 28 years working as a Republican congressional staffer, first for John Kasich and then for the House and Senate Budget Committees. He retired in 2011 and published a brutal essay on his former party in Truthout, which he discussed on this show right after it came out. He's written two books since then, The Party is Over and The Deep State, and many articles cataloging the rot of his former party. Mike Lofgren. So, to start with, how did it feel to see Steve Bannon surrendering to the authorities?
It's about time. I was beginning to wonder about Merrick Garland in the Justice Department. He seems to have been kind of, in the last almost year, sort of the Mr. Magoo of the Justice Department. He really doesn't see that much.
What do you think was inhibiting him?
I don't know. For one thing, he's not perhaps a prosecutor. The fact that he's a judge, you want somebody who is a prosecutor who knows when he can make a case. He's not adjudicating it already when you're coming up with whether to indict somebody. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You need somebody with a killer instinct.
In other words, the prosecution or the charging will have already occurred by the time a judge gets to it. And then you simply have to look at the merits of the case in an adversarial process. But a prosecutor should be certainly, in my opinion, more aggressive. And I think the political aspects played into it insofar as they pretend like they're walking on eggshells and they're afraid of their own shadow and whether something will be interpreted as political. We are way beyond that.
Well, it's always seemed, though, that administrations have been reluctant to go after their predecessors, lest their successors go after them. I mean, is there some fear of tit for tat?
It might be some of that, but it's also, I think it's the old boy network, and we're way beyond that. This is not the British upper classes, where it's one group that's the ins and then the other is the outs. And then it changes, but they're all, you know, from Oxford or Cambridge and all have the right families and all that stuff. So there's not a massacre or a purge because basically nothing ever really changes. We're well beyond that now. I think the Republicans have indicated they're out for power. They brook no compromise. And when they're in power, they will do whatever's necessary, and the rules be damned. And the idea that you have to play by Marcus of Queensberry rules, or even something beyond that, when you are in power, merely gives them an extra head of steam, and it discredits you before your own supporters.
I want to get back to Bannon in a second, but that current attitude among the Republicans that you described, that absolute ruthless desire for power at all costs.
That's the only principle that really exists.
Yeah, with no ethical constraints at all. When did that start among them? You watched them up close for many years. I usually think it starts somewhere around the Gingrich era. Is that when it really got going, or does it predate that even?
Pretty much. You can always find a predecessor. When you go back in the past, you can always pick out examples. Joe McCarthy was not scrupulous about making sure his enemies were actually guilty before publicly smearing them. But that wasn't characteristic of the whole power structure. It was Gingrich. Gingrich was and is a sociopath, and he sort of developed a very elaborate strategy for defaming people and sort of making them guilty as charged and for not having ethical constraints, such as I recall, the 1996 telecommunications bill was a huge rewrite because the internet was just coming along. They hadn't really dealt with cable with joint ownership of TV stations and print publications in major metropolitan areas and all that sort of thing. Well, they wrote this big elaborate bill, then it disappeared into the Speaker's office and was rewritten to help Rupert Murdoch buy properties in media properties in New York and not have to worry about antitrust. Well, it just so happens that a Murdoch imprint of one of his publications had offered and given Gingrich the largest advance heretofore in history to write his own auto-hagiography about how great he was. Now, tell me that's not corrupt.
Well, Bill Clinton played along with that telecommunications bill. The whole thing was a disgrace.
Of course he did. It was a horrible disgrace.
Okay, back to Bannon. Bannon, of course, is famous for saying he wants to deconstruct the administrative state. And I guess a lot of people don't quite immediately understand what he meant by that, but he's talking about dismantling the bureaucracy. And, you know, a lot of people say bureaucracy, who likes...
Nobody likes bureaucracy. They think they don't. You know, it's the object of jokes and hand-wringing and all the rest of it. And how much better things would work if we didn't have a bureaucracy that was constrained by rules and reviews and so forth and pedantic nitpicking. But that's what constrains dictatorship. Otherwise, you are at the whim of somebody's great brainwave, like Donald Trump, who changes his mind, comes up with incredibly stupid or dangerous ideas, and then is able to implement them. The modern sort of bureaucratic administrative state sort of slowly grew up and achieved some sort of a breakthrough maybe in the 18th century when Parliament became supreme in England and the king was no longer an absolute monarch. And what that entailed was Whitehall and the Home Office and all the rest of it that came up with rules and orders and bureaucratic procedures. But it was the beginning of some kind of freedom. And if you think, well, if we just got rid of this stuff, everything would work better. Do you really want to get rid of, if you fly on airliners, get rid of Federal Aviation Administration safety inspectors? You know, part of the reason that passengers are treated like cattle and customer satisfaction doesn't seem to matter is because airlines were deregulated. And so there is no opposition from the government in terms of antitrust for these mergers that leave passengers from point A to point B captive to a single carrier that then doesn't really care about what passengers think because there is no alternative. Now, if there was no FAA safety inspection, do you think they would be any more scrupulous about inspecting the planes and making sure they're safe as they are about customer satisfaction?
The market would take
care of it. And the same applies to agricultural inspections and everything else. People become apathetic because they take things for granted or they get diverted into things like the culture wars because they don't understand how important they take it for granted that they can drink clean, potable water, that the drugs they take have been tested in clinical trials, that the food isn't tainted.
What's Bannon's aim when he talks about dismantling the administrative state?
I think it's to get rid of any constraints on presidential power for whichever clique gets in, which is what he hopes his clique manages to do.
Well, who is his crew now? He's alienated from Trump.
Well, I mean, the Republican Party, there are no moderate Republicans. It's just like two or three people now, basically, in public life. The rest of them are hardcore and will do anything to get power.
I'm speaking with former Republican congressional staffer Mike Lofgren. Well, how seriously should we take the authoritarian impulses of these characters? What's their dream? Do they just
completely seriously? They've told us what they want to do.
What do they want to do?
They want absolute. I mean, their whole business of gerrymandering, voter suppression, and calling any election that they don't win a fraud and refusing to accept it. What they're telling us they're going to do is have absolute unconstrained power so that nobody who is in opposition to them can get into office.
And then I presume that any kind of surviving bureaucracy would be an obstacle to these dreams?
Hannah Arendt said, as far as the functionaries in a totalitarian state, their stupidity is the best guarantee of their loyalty. They'll get rid of these people, and they'll put in partisan functionaries to do the job. And that's like putting some Fox News commentator as ambassador to Germany. They did that with Richard Grenell, and who was in there in his job stirring up right-wing parties in Germany, like the Alternative für Deutschland, which is an extreme right white supremacist faction. You can imagine what sensitivities that stirred up.
Now, in your article, you bring in the heavy artillery, the Nazi precedent, and of course, Bannon does have some sympathy for European neo-Nazis. So how seriously should we take that the ghost of Adolf Hitler in this crowd?
I think we saw Camp Auschwitz t-shirts among the January 6th insurrectionists. We saw the whole torchlight parade business in Charlottesville, just like in Berlin after Adolf Hitler was made chancellor. So, yeah, we should take it seriously.
Well, what is Bannon up to internationally? He's like buddying up to the likes of Orban, right? He's trying to create some kind of fascist or neo-fascist international.
Yes, the whole right-wing establishment now is buddying up to Orban. Sean Hannity is a fanboy. Tucker Carlson is a fanboy. They're holding conferences over there. Probably the next CPAC meeting will be in Budapest. Lovely at that time of year, I'm sure. But that tells you the kind of model that they aspire to, one-party rule. And it's also an interesting sidelight on the patriotism of the right, in that there's been a lot of criticism in the last half century and more about the left seeing first Moscow as a utopia and then Maoist China or Cuba or whatever. And to some extent, that's true. That what kind of an American are you if you take that as a, you know, such a wonderful model to the exclusion of everything else? They are just like that. They see Putin or they see Viktor Orban as these great models. In one of the links I put in about Bannon being an admirer of European fascism, he's a complete fanboy of Mussolini. And the gushing he did about, oh, his style and, you know, general wonderfulness is just really embarrassing. And it makes you think, given the fact that so many Americans died to put that down. What kind of patriot are these people?
Well, these are the people who admire the Confederacy, which is a bunch of traitors.
Right. I think that's part of the whole syndrome. You know, the part of the country where many people figure themselves as the archetypal Americans and the most patriotic and all this other stuff, and pro-military. The U.S. military sustained an awful lot of dead putting down that insurrection 160-plus years ago.
There are a lot of libertarians. You know, you mentioned Hayek, the Cato Institute, who really hate bureaucracy and would like to dismantle it. Is that just some sort of libertarian impulse to dismantle bureaucracy, or is it really this kind of authoritarian fascist impulse? Or is there any difference?
It's hard to know whether people are deluded or they have some sort of hidden ulterior motive. That I'll leave to psychoanalysts. I just know that it's prevalent. And, you know, you see some of this. There is a small, much smaller and less influential libertarian left that kind of fades into anarchism that kind of has the same thing. But anarchy has a tendency not to be everybody cooperating in such a marvelous fashion. It tends to head towards Somalia, where the strongest person, the guy with the most guns, can essentially steal everything, and your life is forfeit if you object. And that's the whole business of inequality in the world. Now, there is just growing and really bad inequality in this country, and part of that is the deregulation of finance and industry to the point where people can accumulate fortunes of over $100 billion and workers' rights are diminished. Well, that was all part of the deconstruction of the administrative state. It's in the absence of the state that this happens, unless you have this kind of hybrid system here where it's partly the removal of rules and then the bigwigs, the plutocrats, have enough influence in the power-making centers to simply buy the government.
The Democrats seem either indifferent or just to this authoritarian turn, or issue pro forma complaints, but don't seem very motivated to fight it. What's going on with them?
That is a puzzle for the ages. Whether they are afraid, whether they are simply not conscious of it, whether they're caught up in intramural squabbles about political correctness and all this other stuff, I don't know. I cannot figure it out. And climate change is, of course, a very important thing. But I think to some extent it's become on the left, and among some establishment Democrats, a kind of surrogate for the most important thing. You're not going to get anything as far as moderation, let alone reversal, of climate change if you neglect the basic political facts that if the other side gets into power because you allow them, the ball game's over.
Why are the Republicans so hostile? Why do they want to destroy the earth? It's mysterious to me.
Part of it is to own the libs. The other part is this weird misinterpretation of the Bible, that God has given us dominion over the earth, apparently not as stewards, but basically to do with as we wish. Oh, and by the way, Armageddon is coming anyway, so it doesn't matter if the Earth is warming 2 degrees Celsius. It'll be a lot hotter soon, and then we'll all be in heaven.
Well, except the sinners who will be experiencing much hotter than 2 degrees.
Well, of course, they'll be cast into the flames, but that's a detail.
So, yeah, I mean, that kind of, you know, millenarian thinking really does motivate a lot of people in the Republican Party.
Well, as I pointed out in the article, it happened when Bush was about to invade Iraq. His greatest support came from dispensationalist evangelicals who thought it would unleash an Armageddon that would lead to the second coming of Christ. And Timothy Snyder, the author of Black Earth, the book about Hitler deconstructing the administrative state in the countries he conquered, Timothy Snyder points out that the Nazi-Soviet pact in August of 1939 was greeted with nearly universal fear and dread outside of Germany and Russia, except among certain American dispensationalists. They thought the Hitler-Stalin pact would bring on Armageddon, which in a way it did, a World War II with over 50 million dead, but this would bring the second coming of Christ.
That was Mike Lofgren, a former Republican congressional staffer. His article, Steve Bannon and the Deadly Implications of Deconstructing the Administrative State, is on the Common Dreams website. That's it for me, Doug Henwood. Let's go out with this.